Hello and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service with me, Michael Bristow. On August 15, 1945, Japan surrendered to the Americans and World War II finally came to an end. Within days, people who'd been held prisoner by the Japanese in China began to be released. One of those prisoners was Mary Taylor, now called Previty, the daughter of Christian missionaries who were then living in China. One of her earliest memories is of the Japanese attacks.
When we heard the guns going over, we'd say, "Titi Tau Kali, little brother, let's pray." And we would climb under the beds to pray. That was a way of life in our family. Everything was, you were going to pray about it, that God was going to protect us. One of the favorite verses my mother made us learn, she put it to music, was, "And he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And he shall give his angels charge over you." And on goes Psalm 91. My mother was a school teacher, she said. You pour God's message into children's heart by making them sing. They can learn Mary had a little lamb when they're three, and they still know it when they're 93. I'm 82, and I still remember it.
Her parents ran a Bible school in the city of Kaifeng in Henan province. When the fighting got worse, they decided to send their four children, including the seven-year-old Mary, to a boarding school on China's eastern coast, where they thought it would be safer. The Japanese were in China, but largely left the Westerners alone. Mary's mother and father remained in Kaifeng.
They chose to stay. They had actually bought tickets to return to the United States, and my dad said, "God didn't call me to be a missionary here just in good times. He called us to be here in good times and bad times." So they knew they were staying, even though there might be a war that would involve us.
And then in December 1941, America was drawn into the war, and Mary and her classmates were now the enemy.
The day after Pearl Harbor was attacked by the Japanese appeared on the doorstep of our school. They brought a Shinto priest to the ball field who conducted a ceremony that said this now belonged to the great emperor of Japan, and they came bringing pieces of paper with Japanese writing and gluing it on tables, chairs, pianos, desks. All of it belonged to the great emperor of Japan, and then they put armband around us, A for American, B for British, and we were not allowed to leave without wearing our armband. And they had guards at the gates. We children would watch them practicing bayonet drills to practice killing people. We called it yaw practice because they would suit up and then they'd charge at the other, which was practicing how to kill people, and we children would watch in astonishment and interest at yaw practice.
The children were now completely cut off from their parents.
There were warring armies between us on the coast where their children were. There was no way we could get together. So now here I was, not knowing, and we were not knowing from one day to the next when we would ever see our parents again.
After about a year, the Japanese decided to close many of the small internment camps, including the one at Mary's school in Chifu. The schoolchildren and their teachers were marched to a bigger camp at Weishen.
I'll never forget that day. That was the end of Western domination of China. They had crowds of Chinese along the roadside as these white people, these foreigners, were carrying whatever they could in their hand. No servants were helping them now, marching off to concentration camp, whatever they could carry. And up at the head of the line, our headmaster began singing from the Psalms, "God is our refuge."
It was tougher in the new camp, but the Chifu school teachers found ways to make it bearable for the children.
I look back at Weishen with beautiful triumphs, because you know what? Our teachers set up a comfortingly predictable set of rituals and traditions. Do you know how safe that makes children feel? If every day, every day, every day, it's the same way. You scrub the floor around your steamer trunks where you were sleeping every day. You had session every day when mending was done. Were you clean? Were you neat? The same every day. It's like little voice inside says, "Oh, I know what's going to happen next." Our teachers were geniuses. They helped us to turn problems into games. When there were rats, the teams were set up on rat-killing competitions. And our school always won. When there were too many flies, and that was terrible because sanitation was awful, the toilets were pits. every child was given a fly swatter. My little brother Johnny won the fly catching competition, and he got a little can of rose mill pâté, I think from a Red Cross parcel or something.
And there were always songs to make life seem better than it was.
We had songs for everything. When we were in the Chifu camp, we made up the song, "We might have been shipped to Timbuktu. We might have been shipped to Kalamazoo. It's not repatriation, nor is it yet stagnation. It's only concentration in Chifu." We sang about everything.
But towards the end of the war, food became increasingly scarce and large numbers of prisoners fell ill.
Doctors were very concerned for the children, especially that they didn't have calcium because there was no milk. And they worried that girls were not having menstrual periods. Babies were not getting proper enamel coming with their teeth. And so the doctor said, anybody that's doing black marketing over the walls should please save the eggshells for the children. Don't throw them out. And I remember the teachers would make the eggshells clean and bake them and then grind it into powder and line us up and spoon a spoonful of eggshell on our tongues. It was vile. Oh, it tasted like you were eating sand.
And then the war ended. It came suddenly for prisoners who'd up until then been cut off from the outside world.
I can remember August 17, 1945. It was beastly hot. And I was sick with dysentery and was lying, and I heard the planes coming, and I thought, we don't hear planes. And I jumped and looked out the window, and I saw a plane flying low over the treetops, and then parachutes began dropping from this plane. I said, whatever it is, it was instant cure for my diarrhea. I headed for the gates. People were berserk. They were crying, weeping, screaming, dancing, jumping up and down, waving at the skies.
The American paratroopers were treated as heroes.
The men of the camp just picked up the major that was head of this mission on a bony platform of shoulders and began carrying him to the gates of the camp. And they won when they got there up on a mound by the gate. Bless my soul, the Salvation Army band was playing the victory medley. The Americans took over the camp. We children loved them. They were gods. We pinched their skin. We wanted pieces of hair, their autographs. Sisters like mine that were teenagers, they got the good stuff like the insignias. We little kids got the boring stuff like buttons and pieces of parachute. But that was the beginning of the end. The Americans had come and liberated.
A few weeks later, Mary, her sister and her two brothers travelled to the interior of China to a reunion with their parents, who'd spent the entire war in areas of China not occupied by the Japanese. They were living in a small city called Fengxian, where again they'd started a Bible school.
We went on in, and there they were. My dad and mom were having some kind of a meeting, and I began to scream, "Daddy, Mommy!" And the Chinese man said, "Mrs. Taylor, the children have arrived." And she said, "Whose children?" Because Dad hadn't told her anything about arrangements. We just fell into their arms and just hugged. She had to measure to see who was who, because we had grown even in a concentration camp. What an amazing, amazing, amazing reunion.
Mary Previty and her family moved back to America, where she was eventually elected to the State Assembly in New Jersey. She was speaking to me, Michael Bristow, for Witness. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, just go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.